This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
When you have an object that you're not a big fan of, you don't like, you can insert blank here. Many ways of getting rid of something, from donating it if someone else may find some use or value in it, to throwing it away, to recycling it, to destroying it. I mean, there's all different things that can be done when one wants to get rid of something. And when one wants to get rid of something so bad, sometimes the best thing, or the thing that seems to feel best at the moment, I should say, is like destroying the item. If it's like, oh, this is a picture of something, you know, that makes me upset, you know, things like that. You're like, okay, if this is, you know, a document or something that, you know, has something on that you're celebrating, you burn it, whatever. There's all different ways of destroying something. When you have a Ouija board in your house that you don't like, you don't want around anymore, you want to get rid of it, you want to destroy it, and you do. You find a way to destroy and dispose of it multiple times over because it keeps coming back, even proven to be come back by very suspicious marking that they put onto the back of this Ouija board that will not go away. It's a great story. Take a listen. I've written in twice already, once about my dad's experience of the land that we deer hunt on, and the other about my personal experience on the campus of a famous university. I decided to write in again to talk more about my past and some of the darker aspects of my story. I told you about more recent events that happened to me since I graduated high school in 2017. I'd tell you about some things that happened in high school and before high school. I believe I've always been somewhat sensitive to paranormal activities, but I haven't always understood that it was what I was interacting with at the time. Looking back now, I know that I've had more experiences than originally thought. As a young child, I don't have any memories of seeing ghosts or paranormal activity. It wasn't until I was 10 years old that I remember interacting with that realm for the first time. To set this story up, I need to give a tiny bit of background information. At 6 years old, my parents divorced for various reasons. They remarried close throughout my childhood to provide my brother and I with as much stability as possible. But they did both remarry other people. My mom married my stepdad, and he loved us like his own children. He's still that way with us today, even though we're grown and gone. My dad, however, he married the devil in disguise, who became my then stepmom. For ease, let's call her Stacy. Not her real name, of course, but I'd like to remain anonymous. My life became one of chaos and torment every time I went over to my dad's house. Stacy and her two daughters moved in and started living with us full-time when I was 8. Her oldest daughter, Michaela, was my same age, and her younger daughter, Melanie, was 6.5. My little brother was 5 at the time. We were all very close in age, and it was, quite honestly, pretty exciting at the prospect of having sisters. I had only known what it was like to have a brother, so I was excited to have sisters for a change, and that quickly diminished. My life became a living Cinderella story, minus the part where my dad dies and I'm an actual princess. I simply had the evil stepmom and stepsisters. They tormented my brother and I while my dad worked some evenings or during the summer days. See, my stepmom was a second grade teacher, so we were often left at home with her during the summer months when school was out. For the first 2 years of their marriage, my dad and stepmom seemed to have little disagreement between them. They got along well, didn't fight, at least not in front of us kids. That all soon changed. At about 10 years old, I was beginning to notice a shift in their relationship. They became hostile towards one another. My stepmom would pick fights with my dad when he walked through the door from work. She'd spend money that we didn't have on extravagant shopping sprees for her daughters. She'd physically push my brother to the ground when my dad wasn't home and leave bruises on him as she gripped his arms and shook him furiously if he messed up. She became meaner and easily angered. My dad became miserable in his own marriage and soon realized that my brother and I were telling the truth about this woman. Stacy's daughters were not much better. They would break things and blame it on my brother and I in front of the adults. They once even let our dog out of the house and said it was my fault because I left the front door open. I was sick of living in this house with these people, and I dreaded going over there on my dad's days and weekends. Eventually, I learned to just go straight to my room, to work on homework or watch TV and only come out when absolutely necessary for the bathroom or to eat. It's about this time that I started noticing some weird stuff, besides the usual about my stepmom and stepsisters. As a kid growing up, I'd often get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. Usually I would also wander into the kitchen for a cold glass of milk as it was my favorite nighttime treat. One night in the middle of the week, that's exactly what had happened. Things had been relatively calm in my household for a few days, which was rare. There hadn't been any fights or screaming matches. I felt mostly okay about the whole thing at the time. I woke up in the night and made my trip to the bathroom and decided to go to the kitchen to grab some milk. Later, the kitchen is important for the rest of the story. We have a rather large house with six people that used to live there. It had to be. Our kitchen was smack dab in the middle of the house. It had two entrances. One was from the den area, and the other was on the opposite end that led to the dining room, front foyer, and main living room. You could walk around in a circle in the center of the house, starting in the den and going through the kitchen, dining room, front foyer, main living room, and end up back in the den. There was a bar that opened up to the den, so that gave an open floor plan feel. The sink was right in front of the bar, so if you're standing at the sink, you were facing and looking out over the den area. The entrance from the dining room was at the opposite end of the kitchen, so that the back of the person at the sink would be towards the doorway. Our fridge was closer to the doorway that led to a dining room, so I often used that door on my midnight adventures to the kitchen. It's well known in my household that my stepmom loved the nighttime, to the extent that she would do housework or grade papers at early hours of the morning for no apparent reason. It was odd, but we just accepted it as her being an insomniac. It wasn't a surprise to me to see her at the sink, which is full of suds and dishes. The water was running and she was scrubbing a plate. The part that did surprise me was that the TV in the den was on at full volume on static. It was ear-splitting, and I couldn't even hear the water running in the sink over the loud crackling noise. I had my hands covering my ears, and I made my way towards my stepmom to get her attention. It was then that I noticed the faucet knob was turned all the way to hot. Water was streaming with heat. Our hot water heater was did a very good job. It usually scalded you if you stayed under the hot water too long. I noticed her hands were already blistered and red from the intense heat. She had been scrubbing that same plate, which looked shiny clean for a while. I tried to say her name loud enough over the TV, but she continued to look forward at the TV and scrub the plate in a slow, methodical motion. I started tugging on her shirt to try to get her attention, but it didn't do any good. I walked around the bar and got in front of her line of sight and started waving my hands. Nothing happened. The TV was so loud and I wondered how it didn't wake my stepsisters. The stairs to the bedroom are right next to the TV and they typically slept with the bedroom door open. I grabbed the remote and muted the TV. I got my stepmom's attention real quickly. She slowly turned her head to look at me and started mumbling under her breath. I couldn't hear exactly what she was saying. I started to walk closer to her to try to hear what she was saying, but after my second step, she lost it. She started screaming at an ear-splitting volume, shouting, "Turn back on! Turn it back on! I need it to show me what I'm supposed to do!" I fumbled with the remote in fear and unmuted TV as quickly as I could. She started mumbling again, but this time it was louder. I could tell it was some sort of foreign language, and it felt like a chant. She wouldn't look at me anymore and was still scrubbing that same dish. I was freaked out and decided to run back to my bedroom to try to go to sleep again. The next morning, I walked into the kitchen after getting ready for school. Stacy and her daughters were at the breakfast table eating. My dad was sitting in the recliner of the den watching the morning news, and my little brother was sitting on the couch. I walked into the room and no one said anything. I half expected my stepmom to look up and laugh about what happened last night, but she never acknowledged me. I decided to wait till after school to ask her about it. Later, when we all got home, she was in the kitchen cooking dinner on the stove. My dad had to work late, so he wasn't home yet. My stepsisters were upstairs doing their homework, and my little brother was outside playing with the dog. I went up to Stacy and asked her what she was doing last night. She looked at me confused. "I don't know what you're talking about. When last night?" I answered her by telling her that I got up in the middle of the night to get a snack and that she was here in the kitchen washing dishes. She told me she didn't know what I was talking about. She said she was asleep all night and didn't do dishes. I decided that maybe it wasn't the smartest idea to push her further. She seemed to be on edge and a little tense. I don't know why, but I got a gut feeling I should just not ask her about it. and not tell anyone else about it. Skip forward a couple of years. I was 12 when my dad finally decided to divorce Stacy. The divorce took a few months to be final, but she moved out quickly after the decision was made. In fact, she moved out in one weekend without telling us. My brother and I were at a church retreat the whole weekend, and my dad went to stay with my grandparents. He didn't want to be alone in the house with her and her kids. While we were gone for the weekend, she moved everything out, everything, even some stuff she didn't own. Luckily, she left my bedroom and my brother's rooms alone, but the rest of the house was bare. She took all the living room furniture, the dining room, my dad's room, the den, everything. My dad didn't have a bed to sleep in the night we got home. That was in September of 2014. It'd be months before the ugly battle in court would be over in March of 2015. In November 2014, we had started piecing back together our lives while the divorce was still finalizing. My dad was slowly buying furniture to fill the large house back up, along with help from my grandparents who had a bunch of furniture in storage. We decided to focus on the positive parts of this terrible ordeal, and Christmas was right around the corner. It was the perfect distraction from everything going on around us. We decided to start decorating a little early that year to try to bring joy into the house and just be happy. As a family, we always loved decorating for Christmas. My ex-stepmom would always go overboard with Christmas decor. To give you a frame of reference, the house was a 4-bedroom, 3.5-bath. It was fairly large for our small town, but it also was not a full-on mansion. She put up 11 Christmas trees. It was ridiculous. At least for my dad and my brother and me. We weren't used to that kind of flashy decor. We just decorated our living room tree with ornaments and decor that had been passed down over the generations. Stacy thought we should go out every year and buy a whole new ornament set for the tree each year. Anyways, we were excited to finally get back to our own traditions. We stored our Christmas decor in the attic, which was accessed through the upstairs bathroom. My little brother was at trap shooting practice that afternoon, and my dad and I decided to go up into the attic and take inventory of what decor was left. We weren't entirely sure what all that she had taken from the attic as well, since we weren't too concerned about Christmas at the time. Funnily enough, this was one area of the house that was not touched as much as the rest. She left virtually everything up here when she left. Piles of boxes, trash bags full of decor from all seasons. Found a pile of Christmas decor and started sifting through it. After about an hour, my dad started moving the next layer of trash bags. He picked one up and set it down out of the way. We looked down at the floor and saw a Ouija board. At this point in my life, I'd already developed a slight fascination for the paranormal. I think that preteen and early teenage years are a time of curiosity as well. Started looking into this type of thing, and I already knew that Ouija boards were not to be messed with. Every story I'd ever heard of a Ouija board interaction was negative. A lot of my friends at the time were starting to be curious as well, more in a joking way. They clearly weren't trying to research because they thought it might be true. They'd make Ouija boards out of a cardboard or draw on a piece of paper to play at sleepovers and birthday parties, but I never participated in these because I knew they could go bad. I didn't want to risk inviting something evil into my life. Anyways, back to the story at hand. I have plenty of Ouija board stories gone wrong that I can share later. So my dad looked down and asked, "What is that?" I turned around to see what he was talking about and froze. I told him it was a Ouija board. He stiffened up. If you heard any of my stories before on this show, you know it's odd for my dad. He's not a believer, or at least he claims that he doesn't believe. Even he is weary of a Ouija board. He kind of shrugged it off, bent down to pick it up, stopped him and told him to pick it up with something else. I dislike Ouija boards to the point that I won't touch them, and I really wasn't keen on my dad touching it either. Kind of laughed it up a little and picked it up anyways. He set it on the curb to be taken away by the garbage truck the next morning. So the Ouija board sat outside all night. The next day, as we were getting ready to leave for school, the garbage truck came and took everything. I watched as the Ouija board fell into the compactor and was crushed with the rest of our trash. About 2 weeks later, I got home from school and went to my bedroom. I was home alone since my dad was still working. My little brother had to ride the bus home since his campus was further away. The high school was only about a half a mile from my dad's house, so I walked home to wait for my brother, put my bag down and walked to my closet to change into comfier clothes. Opened my closet door and saw the Ouija board sitting there on the shelf about eye level with me. It startled me really badly and I jumped backwards. When I realized what it was, I immediately left the room and didn't go back in there until my dad was home from work. I explained to him what happened, that I thought it might be the Ouija board from upstairs. He shrugged it off as me trying to play a prank on him. He accused me of buying the board and strategically placing it. I told him I didn't do it, but he didn't believe me. At this point in my life, I don't know where to buy a Ouija board or how to even get myself to a store that would sell it. My dad told me to stop playing with it and to not buy another one. He took it outside to the curb. The next day, the garbage truck took it away. But 4 days later, we all came home from church on a Sunday night. I went to the bedrooms to change out of our church clothes. My brother came out of his room carrying the Ouija board. He asked my dad, "What's this board game and why was it on his bed?" My dad immediately looked at me and scolded me. He asked me why I bought another one and why I was trying to scare my little brother. I told him it wasn't me and he didn't believe me. He said if I did it again, I would be grounded. I told my dad that it was the same Ouija board we'd found in the attic a couple weeks prior. He decided to try to prove me wrong. He flipped the board over, pulled out his pocket knife, etching a big X in the back of the board on the top right corner. He said that if it was the same board that was showing up, he would know now. He said if he saw the Ouija board without this exact X on the back of it again, he would ground me. 3 weeks went by, nothing happened. It's the middle of December, the week before Christmas. At this point, over those weeks, my dad teased me and asked me why I wasn't brave enough to place a Ouija board somewhere in the house. It was really annoying that he kept making fun of me and teasing me for something I didn't do. One day, my dad got off work early and came home from work before my brother and I got home from school. He went to his bedroom to take a nap before we got home, and he walked through the door. He found a Ouija board on the bed, which confused him. He initially thought I had placed it there, but he knew better. He had dropped me off at school on his way to work, and I obviously hadn't come home from school in the middle of the day without him knowing. He walked over to the bed, picked it up, and sure enough, on the back it had the X he had etched in the upper right corner. He dropped the board on the bed, face down, and backed out of his room. He shut the door, went into the living room to wait for us to get home. I always get home before my brother, and I said earlier, when I walked in through the garage, my dad met me at the door. He accused me of getting a new Ouija board and etching an X in the back to trick him. He was really angry, and I again told him I hadn't done it. About 30 minutes of quizzing me, calling my school to confirm I was present in every class that day, he finally believed me. He took me to the bedroom to show me the Ouija board on the bed, and what we saw truly freaked him out. The board was no longer face down on the bed. It sat up on the dresser, across the room, leaned up so that it was the front of the board facing the doorway. My dad to this day will swear up and down to me that he left it face down in the corner of the bed. We left it there as we made our way back to the living room. My dad grabbed his laptop and started researching how to get rid of a Ouija board, because clearly throwing it away was not working. There were several answers online, mostly of which were to give it away. It said that by giving the Ouija board to another owner, it'll break any ties that it has with you. Some people also said that you should bury the board face down, wrap it in a cloth so it doesn't make contact with the planchette. Others even mentioned burning it, while others said that you should never burn it. My dad decided he didn't want to give whatever this was to someone else, but he also didn't want it on his land or anything like that. He decided that burning it was worth the risk of online comments. He grabbed a metal barrel, put some old paper and twigs in the bottom to get the fire burning, went inside, grabbed the old Ouija board off the dresser, and brought it outside. We both stood there and watched as he threw it in the burning fire. It didn't take long before the edges of the board started turning black and crumbling in the heat. After about a minute of the board slowly burning up, there was a screech from the fire and a loud pop. The fire imploded in the can and sent a huge cloud of black smoke out of the top. It scared both me and my dad, and we automatically jumped backwards. We stood there until the board was ashes and finally went back inside. After weeks and weeks, the board never showed up again. We never saw it again, and there was not any negative energy in that house after that. At least not quickly after that. There were more experiences after that, but I don't think they were related. I'll tell those stories at a later date. I'm sorry this was so long, but I wanted to write in since I have many to share. Thanks.
This is Real. Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.